got your Bible with you. All right, let's wave it. Let's wave it. Wave it. I'm going to look around. Let me look around. We're doing better. Thank you. I watched y'all on Facebook last Sunday, and it really was a good presentation. It really was a good message. And Monty mentioned the fact that we need to bring our Bibles. Hard copy, right? Not a phone, but a hard copy where you can build a relationship with the book. We're people of the book. That's what they call us, all right? And let's be that. Let's be people of the book. We need to be reading our Bible every day. We need to be meditating on what God says. We need to be learning. We need to be doing Bible studies. We need to be in Bible study on Sunday morning. Some of you weren't here this morning. We got a Bible study going for everybody at 9:30 on Sunday morning. So y'all come back next Sunday at 9:30 to be a part of our Bible study. I was reading, wanting to go into chapter 2. And I've got a message already prepared, and I want to thank Monty for helping me get that ready. After he got done preaching, he texted me. We don't call it, we text. And he helped me prepare the sermon in chapter 2, so I appreciate his help. But now, I couldn't get past verse 18. Look at verse 18 of chapter 1, and you'll see why I couldn't get past it. Look what it says. Let's read it together. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen? The cross is where I met Jesus. Did you meet Jesus at the cross? Yeah, when I got saved, there was a vivid understanding of what Christ did for me when he died on the cross. How many say amen to that? Raise your hand. Vivid understanding of what he did for me at the cross. And I knew I was a sinner on my way to judgment, going to spend eternity away from God in hell. And then I came to the cross. I came to Jesus at the cross and trusted him as my Savior and my Lord. Never regret that decision. What greatest decision I ever made. Now verse 21 it says, and after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Chapter 2 is going to get into a big study about the wisdom of the world versus true wisdom that comes from God. But he mentioned it and starts getting into it in the latter part of chapter 1. Now, this book is written to the Corinthian church. The Corinthians were people like the world today. They were very worldly. They had worldly wisdom. They had philosophy, and they had rhetoric, and they did all that. But the people of the world is getting more like that today than ever before. When I was a child, when you and I, my age, was a child, there was within the United States this basic acceptance that the Bible is the Word of God. Basically, the Bible is the Word of God, and Jesus is the way to heaven. Now, everybody wasn't saved, but most people understood that truth, and they would argue that point, whether to get saved or not. We are living in the latter days of the United States of America, and the philosophy of the world has become influenced more by the secular influence of college professors than they are by the Word of God. Because in my generation, they somehow determined that that should not be a part of public school. And so the reverence to the Word of God is not like it was at the day when I was a kid. Now the message of the cross is our message. Amen. Now the message of the cross is not impressive if you don't know Christ. It might sound even offensive to the world and foolish to the world. But once we're saved, we understand that God saved us through the cross of Christ, through Him dying for our sins at Calvary. What the world calls foolishness, you and I call the power of God. Amen? Amen. The cross divides. It actually divides. There's people on the wrong side of the cross and those of us who are saved on the right side of the cross. Those that are perishing and those that are being saved. It's a difference. It's a division. Christianity is divisive in reality. If you get saved and your family is not Christians, you'll probably start having some conflict because there's a spiritual warfare going on and Satan wants to stir up trouble. And if you get saved, he doesn't want your family to approve. He don't want them to get saved too. So when you get saved, there becomes a spiritual warfare between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom that is truly from God. The cross divides. Now the cross condemns the lost that reject the saving truth of the cross, but it saves us that believe. The message of the cross is foolish until you come to Christ, and then you know that's the only way to God. A person that thinks there's more than one way to God has not met Jesus at the cross. Once you find the Lord, you become divisive. When you find the Lord, you become divisive in this sense, that you know there's only one way to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say to you today that if you think there's more than one way to God, you have not yet come to Christ. I think we can agree to that. How about that? I think we can all agree to that. Now the message of the cross, we're to present it. We're to bring it to the world. The Christian is not to bring other messages as foremost and out front, but the cross is our primary message. Now, Christian, you can live your life in front of your neighbors for 40 years and they'll still die and go to hell. You've got to take them to the cross. You need to bring the cross to their attention. You need to get them to see Jesus dying for their sins. That might be divisive. You may have a good relationship with your neighbor until then. But let me ask you something. You want them to go to hell happy? You want them to go to hell happy or go to heaven happy because they met Jesus at that cross? We can play this, no, I don't want to ruin the relationship. And here's a game that I play. Satan plays this game with me. Oh, they're not ready yet. You need to wait just a little bit longer. You need to prepare just and wait and don't share. Hey, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And we need to tell people about Jesus. And we have to take people to the cross of Christ. Now, our message is not psychology. Our message is not reformation. Our message is not a positive attitude. Now, I know a preacher on television that gives a wonderful invitation for people to come to Christ. But his message before it has nothing to it in truth to get conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring a person to Christ. Our preaching needs to be filled with convicting power from the Holy Ghost about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember it was W.A. Criswell. I believe it was. W.A. Criswell. He went to visit this man in the hospital. He was dying. And man, the family had asked him to see him. And it was kind of the last minute thing. And the man, he was going to talk to him. And the last words out of his mouth, Criswell said to him, he said, "Have you trusted Christ as your Savior?" And the last words that man said before he died was, "I went to your church and heard you preach." And you know what? Criswell come home with this understanding that I'll never preach again that I don't give the message of the cross as a part of that message. Hey, we don't have a guarantee that people's going to have another chance. We need to give them the way to heaven. We need to share that with them. We need to preach that to them. We need to present that to them. Now the cross, that's the message, right? Now the cross, it represents sacrifice. What's it about? First of all, the message of the cross is sacrifice. That Jesus, his death was not an accident. It was an intentional death by him, planned before the foundation of the world. The justice of God and the mercies of God, the mercy of God came together at Calvary. God's justice was satisfied and God's mercy overwhelmed. And you can get saved by looking by faith to the cross of Jesus Christ. God's judgment for sin was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus actually became sin for us. The Holy Son of God became sin for us. The Father could not even look upon him. Because the Father is holy and he maintained the holiness of God. While Jesus is acting out the sacrificial death, the Godhead, that's a miracle, right? And the Father could not look upon him because he became sin for us. But he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God by trusting him as our Lord and Savior. The cross is sacrifice. But the cross confronts sin. Now listen, you won't hear much about sin in many pulpits in these days. You won't hear much about sin. You'll hear other things. Positive messages and uplifting messages. And let me tell you something. Nothing like a good old negative message on sin to help you live a positive life. Amen? I've had people say that. Well, you don't ever say anything good about me when I go to church. Well, man, there ain't nothing good to say about you. I can't think of a thing. Amen? Hey, the cross confronts sin. Sin is a serious thing. And we need to really understand this, that although we are sinners saved by grace, although we still sin, God has not changed His mind about sin. It's offensive to Him. And that's why it breaks our fellowship with God, because sin is offensive to God. And if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. In other words, if we choose to hold on to our sin and want to play Christianity with God and talk to God in prayer, our sin will keep God from hearing our prayer. Man, hey, you sin. This thing is sticky. You sin, you need to confess that sin. For He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, the world resists the truth that sin is still sin. Try to redefine it. But that's human pride. That's what that's all about. It's just human pride that wants to not talk about sin. And I guarantee you, there's a class somewhere going on these days in church growth seminars that tells them, don't talk about sin. Listen, if we don't talk about sin, we can't get to Calvary. The cross confronts sin. Now, thirdly, the cross centers on Christ. It centers on Christ, not philosophy, not self-helps, but a crucified Savior. You know, Paul said in chapter 2, he said, I come preaching to you in weakness, but in actuality, Christ died in weakness. The vulnerability of Jesus Christ when He came. See, that's a miracle. That's a wonderful miracle of God, that God became vulnerable for us. God could have sat over there in heaven and He could have allowed us to die and go to hell. But God didn't choose to do that. He chose to become a baby. Vulnerability. And He grew here in the protective hands of His parents and the protective hands of His community. And then He become a man and He's in His own protective hands. And the Holy Spirit is with Him, protecting Him. And He went to the cross and He died for our sins on the cross. The message of the cross, that is the message of salvation. That God died, He died for us. He died in weakness that we could experience the power of God, the resurrection of Christ in our life, making us a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel message is simple. Christ died for our sins. This is 1 Corinthians 15. He was buried for our sins. And He rose again for our sins. This thing is driving me crazy. Can y'all tell? Sticking to my feet. Let me ask you. What are you trusting? I'm 2 inches shorter now. What are you trusting to take you to heaven? I should have thought of that, Michael. What are you trusting to take you to heaven? What are you? You've got to answer this question to yourself. What are you trusting to take you to heaven? Are you trusting your goodness? That won't work. Are you trusting your good works? Are you trusting your wisdom? No. Friend, we die without Christ until we come to the cross and realize that He died for sin and Christ is the center of it all. And we trust Him because He's a resurrected Lord to come into our life and be our Lord and our Savior. Now, to the world, see, this is foolishness. The cross is foolishness to the world. Why does the world reject the cross? It's foolish. It's too simple. I've heard that, right? Have you heard that one? It's too simple. That's too easy. Well, it wasn't easy for Jesus. But thank God He made it easy for us that the simple ones can come to Christ. And isn't it amazing how 1 Corinthians tells us in the end of the chapter that it's the simple ones that come to God. Those that are wise reject God. But secondly, another reason why the world rejects the cross is it's offensive. Have you all heard that? You remember the movement that went through churches in the, I think it was in the 90s, to take the crosses down in the churches? Y'all remember that movement? To take the crosses down in the churches because that was offensive. What are you going to do? Put up blue skies and oceans and stuff like that? And then at the same time, they were trying to, I wonder who was behind that. Take the blood songs out of our singing. Hey, we're not saved by corruptible things such as gold, silver, gold, and precious things, but by the blood of Christ. That's nothing but the devil in all those things. Nothing but the devil. Hey, there is an offense in getting saved. God's the boss, and you have to acknowledge Him, and you have to bow and trust Him as your Savior. And that's called humility. And it works. Amen, it works. So the world rejects the cross as foolishness because some say it's too simple. Others say it's offensive. And it's opposite of the world's value. The world's value is power and success. Power and success. Power and success. Listen, you can have power and success without God. You can have power and success without church. You can have power and success looking around the world. You see it? But you'll die and go to a devil's hell without Christ. That's why Paul said, he said, I came preaching in weakness. Salvation won't necessarily make you a success in life. Now, if you follow God and you follow the principles of Scripture, that's the pathway to real success. But you can have worldly success without following Scripture. But you know what? I want to be recognized by God as successful, don't you? Christ died in weakness for us to be saved. He died for our sins. The natural mind of the lost does not understand this. Now, you and I take it for granted that it makes all kinds of sense, and that's because we're saved, and we didn't know what was transforming in our mind when we got saved. But the natural mind does not receive and does not understand the cross. And it's only when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our need for Christ that the cross makes sense to us and we can trust Jesus and be saved. The cross says, you cannot save yourself. Someone has to die for you. You might say, I'm a good man. One religion is just as good as another. Or you might say, there are many ways to God, but these things are not true. And you understand that they're not true once you come to the cross. Once you understand that God's Son, not Houdini, or not the, I'm trying to think of one of them religions. It's not Houdini, he's not religion, right? Hinduism and all that stuff. That's no way to God. Meditating, my way to heaven. You're dying. I about passed out right then. Hey, about went over backwards. Don't have my heels holding me. Folks, listen, God's methods of salvation is through the cross. That's good enough. We don't argue the subject, right? We have no alternative. There is no alternative. There's no other way to heaven but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. You're out there drowning. Let's imagine that you're out there drowning and someone comes to rescue you and you say, oh, wait a minute, don't pull my hair and don't choke me. And you give all these other qualities. No, you don't do that. You're dying and you're drowning and you don't care how they get you in, as long as you get in. Amen? Well, listen, that's the way it is with the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for doing all the work. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to me. And thank you for salvation. Over in the book of Romans chapter 1, I like what Paul says in verse 16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek and everybody in between. Amen. Salvation. We believed and we experienced the power of the cross. We believed and we experienced the power of the cross. Look at our text again. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. There's no substitute for the cross. There's no other method. Power to save us. It breaks the power of sin by coming to the cross. You know what the power of sin is? It's got a grip on you. Amen? And the devil has condemnation over you. That's the power of sin. The power of sin, the devil has condemnation over you, and sin has a grip on you. But listen, what do? Fight it? That won't work. Resist it? That won't work. Try to stand up and say, I'm not a sinner? That won't work. Try to do better? That don't work for a while. Hey, the way to overcome sin is bow to the cross. Let Jesus have it. Give it to Jesus. It's not self-improvement. It's transformation that people need. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. We don't need reformation classes. We need transformation classes. Amen. The power to change our lives, to break the addictions, to renew our hearts, renew our lives, is all in the cross of Christ. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. I don't even have it marked. Titus chapter 3, look at verse 5. I used to quote these things, man. Titus 3:5. He's going to have it up there. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Every Christian ought to have works of righteousness that they have done. Wouldn't you agree? But not by works of righteousness. And they can get in the way of some people. I've had people tell me that they were a good person and that they wasn't going to go to hell because they was a good person. I remember a lady in a funeral home. Her husband got saved in a moment. I led him to Christ. Her brother died. Her father died. And he got saved right there at that moment. And she said, I'm a good person. I'm not going to hell. It took a while to convince her through Scripture that there is none righteous, no, not one. No, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But look here, not of works of righteousness, which we have done. We ought to do them, but that's not our salvation. But according to His mercy, He saved us. What did He do? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He washed us. He regenerated us. And He renewed in us the Holy Spirit that was lost when Adam sinned. Man, we are... You say, preacher, I wish we'd go back to the garden. No, I don't want to go back to the garden. I want to go to the new garden. Amen? The one Jesus has prepared for us. Now listen, the power to change our life is in the cross. The power to save is in the cross. The power to sustain us. See, people want to get away from the cross. Don't ever get too far from the cross. We are to bear our cross, aren't we? And that's not talking about putting up with what's going wrong in your life. The bear cross is to keep it in our mind, the cross of Christ. Carry it with us everywhere we go. Not a beautiful little silver thing around our neck, but the old rugged cross that Christ died upon. Hey, it don't ever get old. You know, I've been preaching here at this church for at least 10 years now. I'm at least 30 years old now. It wasn't no lie, was it? Maybe misleading, but no lie. Hey, it never gets old. I can preach on all these things. I preach sometimes. When I get done preaching, I said, I hated that message. Many times I say, oh, I just hated that. I don't want to preach this. But man, I've never said that when I preach Christ and the cross. I love it. Man, that's larping, as my grandfather said. Larping. It's power. It's power to change your life. It's power. It'll change your life today. Not only when you got saved, but today. The cross. Renew your commitment to the cross of Christ and presenting Christ to our world. And it'll renew your heart. It'll renew your life. It'll renew your commitment. It'll sustain you. It never gets old. The cross saves us. The cross keeps us. Strength for the trials that we have to go through. It's in the cross of Christ. We look to Christ. You know, what does Hebrews 12? Hebrews 12. Help me get started, Alan, or David. 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. Where'd it go? That's not my... Wherefore, seeing we also accomplish about so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us, and let us run the race that is set before us. Next verse is what I'm after. And looking unto Jesus. That's what I'm looking for. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured. He didn't enjoy. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know why. Every time I teach on Jesus praying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, he didn't want to go to the cross. I don't know why people can't comprehend that. Well, he was God's son. No, he was a man just like me and you. But see, we're to be motivated by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end of it, right? He started us and he's going to finish us. Who, for the joy that was set before him. Now, the joy that was set before him was not the cross. The joy that was set before him was the assembling together of all the saints of God that would one day be presented to the God, to the Father before the throne room of God. He was looking forward to the celebration. Amen? I'm not looking forward to no cross. I'm not looking forward for a bad day. I'm not looking forward for something to go wrong. I'm looking forward to good days. I'm looking forward when Jesus comes. I'm looking forward when we gather again and we see our parents and all of our loved ones that's gone on before us. You people that are 30 years old don't even know what I'm talking about. You got to get to be about 60 years old before you start thinking, you know, I got more people in heaven that are my friends than I do on earth. Isn't that true? It's true. One day you'll be there. One day you'll be there. One day you'll be there. Hey, the power of the cross sustains us. He said, he looking unto Jesus, we are to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him made it where he could endure the cross. Got it? We looking forward to that great day of assembly in heaven causes us to be able to endure the things that we have to endure. Despising the shame, he didn't enjoy that. And is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. In 3 weeks, I'm going to teach on Sunday night, and you need to be here, about Jesus being seated in heaven and rising when Stephen was stoned. It's going to help you understand the complete Bible if you'll be there. 3 weeks is the plan. 2 more weeks of Job. How many's excited about getting done with Job? My wife started to curse on me about 3 months ago. I can't wait till you get out of Job. You got to get out of Job. I can't stand any more of this Job stuff. And I was doing good when I would never think about it. Now I'm thinking, Lord, help me get out of Job. She has an evil influence over me. That's a lie. Lord, help me not lie in the pulpit. Hey, listen, strength comes from reflecting on what Christ done at the cross. Look what he endured for us. The cross is not a shining ornament, but a life-changing experience. The cross gives us a foundation. We can go back to there. We can always go back to there. Hey, listen, that's part of being a Christian. I can always go back to the cross. In my life, I've strayed before. Have you strayed? Man, you can go right back to that cross. You don't get saved again. You just get the power of the first salvation. Amen? You just go back there and you find, what? Oh, you get reminded. Oh, yeah, that's right. My sins are laid on him and I get forgiveness of sin. Oh, I was out here messing around with involved with the wrong kind of people. I was living in sinful practices. And you come back there and what does Jesus do? He washes you. And really the reality is you come to realization of his washing when you come back to the cross. You got to do that. Some of you today, listen to me. Some of you today, you're a Christian. You've been saved. You saved a little child, but you've been out in the world. You've been out there and you've been doing this. You've been living for the devil. And if your friends were to look at you, the only evidence of you being saved was the fact that you're in church today. There's many, many other evidences that you're not a Christian. Many of you are like that. Hey, we've been there before. I've been there before. You know what you need to do? You need to come to this altar. You need to lay it all down at that cross. And when you get up, I'm going to live Christ. I'm going to thank God for the cross. I'm going to live the cross. Does that make any sense to you? See, there's forgiveness at that cross. That's the foundation of life. Do you understand the foundation of life is the fact that God can forgive you of sin? Now, the cross has the vertical bar and the horizontal bar. The vertical bar, we go to the cross, it makes us right with God. Jesus is the go-between. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and we're made right with God. But you know what? That horizontal bar on that cross, it means that we can be made right with others on this planet. You know, you may be filled with hate and distrust or many other things about your neighbors and people in your life. When you come to the cross, you got to have victory over that. I've not told you about a friend of mine that I got to lead to Christ on a Sunday evening in my home about 35 years ago. Harley Sykes. He came to church. He wanted to be saved. Went home lost. Come to the altar. Went home lost. He come to church. Wanted to get saved. Went home lost. One Sunday night, Debbie, he followed me home after church. He said, I got to talk to somebody. He said, I didn't do everything right in my family. He said, I did wrong, and it was my fault. But my ex-wife hates me, and my children hate me, and I hate my wife, my ex-wife. And I said, Hardy, you got to lay that down at the cross. And he laid that down at the cross. And that man got saved. How many remember he got saved? Now, it didn't give him a clear mind, did it? He was nutty as a June bug. Amen? Nutty as a June bug. He was a nut, but he was on the right boat. Amen? And he led people to Christ. He'd take me all over this country. God, we need a man like that again. He'd take me all over this country. He took me out to the river. And there's 150 people out there drunk as skunks. And he said, preacher, let's go out there and witness to them. I went out there. I said, I saw confusion. He saw souls getting saved. Man, motivator. He went up. We won this old guy lived. He won this guy. Don't let me think I did. He won this old guy lived in a cooler box truck. You know what I'm saying? They set it on the ground. What do you call it? Gilbert. Yeah, old Gilbert. Yeah. Led old Gilbert to Christ. Nobody cared about Gilbert. Gilbert had nothing to offer. But that man, Harley Sykes, loved that man. He loved all people. When he got saved, when he forgave his wife and family for all that they'd done that he called, it revolutionized his life. That's a cross. He went old Gilbert to Christ, and Gilbert got sick and went to the hospital, going to die up there. And he went up there and led every one of them nurses to Christ. We need inspiration like that. Yeah, you know what our problem is? We're too smart to be dumb as Harley. We're too smart. We need to get dumb. Amen. And believe that anybody can get saved. And then we'll go to witnessing like we should. But the cross, my point, the cross reconciles us with God, but it also reconciles us with man. And if you don't get that, you ain't got the full gospel. You got to get it all. We're living, if we are living, in the power of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. It's enough, isn't it? Amen. People are always saying, preacher, you need more. I've heard this over the years. You need more. You need more. I don't need more. I got everything when I got Jesus. I got the cross. I don't want to be sidetracked by all this other garbage. I don't want to get involved in this higher thing and this upper thing and this ooey-gooey thing. I just want the cross. How about you? You can have the ooey-gooey religion. You can have the upper kind of religion. You have the out and blowed out stuff. You go to all the seminars. And listen, you can go to all the seminars and be trained in all that seminary junk. And your neighbors will go to hell. That's all that junk does. You need to stay dumb and stay at the cross and witness to your friends of Christ. And you'll have the joy of the Spirit. You'll have everything they're talking about at them seminars that speaker has, which is a bunch of nonsense. It's Christ, and that's everything. Jesus that I met at Calvary is all I need. Everything I need and all I'll need. Now, I don't need a sign. I don't need worldly wisdom. I don't need baptism, although I got baptized. They told me I should, and I said, okay to that. But it's the cross that I cling. And that's how I got saved. And that's how your neighbors get saved. And if you want the joy of the Spirit, go to witnessing to your friends and neighbors and enemies about the cross. Now let's have an invitation. Let's bow our heads. Let's quietly stand on our feet. As our musicians come to play, if you want to rededicate your life to live for Jesus, would you come right now? There it is. It was me all along. Seriously, would you come? The invitation is open. Will you come and lay it down here? Would you come? Would you come? What about a Christian that will rededicate their life to the cross? To the witnessing of the cross? To the gospel of the cross? To winning your neighbors to Christ? Would you come? Sing it out.
That thy blood was shed for me.
Hey, do you love the Lord Jesus today? Do you need to come to this altar? Have you recently done that? Do you need to rededicate your life to Christ? Would you come? Do that right here. Amen, brother. You just come and just, God knows your heart. Amen. Amen. If you can't kneel down, just come and stand.
Dark blot to thee, whose blood can cleanse spot, O Lamb.
Anyone else want to come today? Give your life to Christ. Would you come?
Just as
maybe you want to sign up, get baptized. You come. Of God I come. Anyone else? Let's sing one more time. Someone could come. What about you young people, man? When I got saved at 9, I got to be 17. I had to rededicate my life to the Lord because I'd become too much like the world. Man, it comes a time in your life you need to do that. Anyone else? Praise God. It's good to be in the Lord's house. How about you?
Amen.
Any other word before we leave? I didn't want to interrupt these girls praying.